this military cooperation between Russia and China is deepening, it's definitely posing a significant challenge to the West.
Alarm bells over Beijing and Moscow military cooperation. It's Tuesday, December 21st. I'm Jessica Stone in Washington. You'll also find us online at VOA Asia Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Also ahead, saving global languages in Australia, facing changes at Facebook. It's all on today's VOA Asia. China and Russia have begun collaborating on technology to rival the U.S. GPS and European Galileo satellite navigation systems. An analyst says it's one example of how Moscow and Beijing are pursuing closer military and strategic ties with big implications for global security. Henry Ridgewell reports.
Earlier this year, China agreed to host ground monitoring stations for Russia's GLONASS positioning system on its soil. These stations are a key component to global positioning. In turn, Russia agreed to host ground stations for China's Beidou system. Such ground stations are vulnerable to being hacked, and the reciprocal agreement indicates a growing level of trust and cooperation between Moscow and Beijing, says analyst Alexander Gabuev.
Russia's schism with the West and deepening confrontation and competition between China and the U.S. as two superpowers is definitely contributing to rapprochement between Moscow and Beijing. There is a natural economic complementarity where Russia has abundance of natural resources and China has capital and technology to develop those resources. And finally, both are authoritarian states.
Satellites are another component in global navigation. China's Beidou system uses 35 satellites to provide users with a location on Earth to an accuracy of about 10 meters or higher for military users. GLONASS has fewer satellites in orbit. It will take some time for the collaboration on satellite navigation systems to be felt.
So far, we have yet to see important results because in Russia, Russia still relies increasingly on GLONASS, but also on GPS. We don't have major Beidou-linked projects.
Satellites are also seen as a crucial component of 21st-century military power. Last month, Russia tested a missile against one of its own satellites. The United States said the resulting debris threatened astronauts on the International Space Station.
What's most troubling about that is the danger that it creates for the international community. It undermines strategic stability.
Russia, China, and the United States are among several nations developing hypersonic missiles, which travel through the upper atmosphere at five times the speed of sound. Moscow said the United States had failed to engage on a joint Russian-Chinese space treaty.
They have ignored for many years the initiative of Russia and China to prepare a treaty to prevent an arms race in space. They simply ignore it, insisting instead on developing some sort of universal rules.
But there are limits to Russian and Chinese cooperation, says Gabuev.
Both Russia and China are religious about their strategic autonomy. There is deep-seated nationalism. There is some level of mistrust and some level of competition in many of those areas where there is seeming complementarity, like space programs.
Russia has worked more closely with India than China, developing the joint BrahMos missile system.
Russia felt secure enough to develop BrahMos missiles together with Indian colleagues. So this military cooperation between Russia and China is deepening. It's definitely posing a significant challenge to the West, particularly because it helps PLA to become a really 21st century fighting power and a global military power. But at the same time, we don't see the depth that that exists between, for example, the US and America's allies.
India has also purchased Russia's S-400 missile defense system, an attempt to counter China's military might and an indication of the complexity of strategic relations in a changing world order. Henry Ridgewell for VOA News, London.
These are among the top Asia headlines you'll find right now on voanews.com. Sixth child dies after Australian bouncy castle accident. Biden's China policy, negotiate while preparing for a fight. Indonesia raises Semeru volcano alert. Osaka arson suspect identified. Buildings to be checked. And ex-Chicago Mayor Rahm Emanuel confirmed as ambassador to Japan. Expanded coverage of these stories and more are on Facebook, at VOA Asia, Instagram, Twitter, and on the voanews.com website. VOA Asia continues. Chinese tennis star Peng Shui has denied saying she was sexually assaulted, despite a November social media post attributed to her that accused a former top Communist Party official of forcing her into sex. Peng dropped out of sight after posting the accusation in November, causing many to question her safety. In a video posted Sunday on the website of a Singapore-based Chinese language newspaper, Peng told the interviewer she has, quote, never said or written anything accusing anyone of sexually assaulting me, a point she said she needed to emphasize very clearly. Peng said in the interview that her initial post on the social media site Weibo was a private matter and told the interviewer she was able to move about freely. The newspaper said the video was taken Sunday in Shanghai, where the 35-year-old Peng was attending a skiing competition. The video showed her standing alongside former National Basketball Association star Yao Ming and other Chinese sports figures. An Australian-led study warns that 1,500 of the world's 7,000 recognized languages might no longer be spoken by the end of the century. VOA's Phil Mercer reports from Sydney.
The research published Friday in the journal Nature Ecology and Evolution details a wide range of factors putting endangered languages under pressure. Australian researchers have found that as roads increasingly connect cities to more remote areas around the world, indigenous languages can be overwhelmed by their more dominant counterparts, such as English. The study also asserts that bilingual education has been neglected. Again, dominant languages have been found to smother those spoken by smaller groups. Experts have said Australia's record is poor, and the country has one of the world's highest rates of language loss worldwide. Before European colonisation, more than 250 First Nation languages were spoken in Australia. Today there are just 40, and only a dozen are being taught to children. Professor Felicity Meekins is from the University of Queensland and one of the study's co-authors.
This has been an ongoing process through colonisation and globalisation. So we don't want to forget, of course, in all of this that individual speech communities have their own histories and experiences. And in many places, including Australia, languages have been silenced as the result of brutal colonial policies which have been designed to suppress languages. So, for instance, in Australia, people were punished for speaking their language. And these experiences were really traumatic and have had lasting consequences for the ability of language communities to pass on their languages.
Researchers have said that as the world prepares for the United Nations Educational, Scientific and Cultural Organization UNESCO Decade of Indigenous Language in 2022, their findings were a vital reminder that more action is needed to save at-risk languages. They've said that every language is brilliant in its own way and a critical part of our human cultural diversity. Phil Mercer for VOA News, Sydney.
Still ahead on VOA Asia, what the Omicron variant means to the U.S. economy. Happening now in Asia. The United States and four other Western countries expressed grave concern Monday about the erosion of democratic elements in Hong Kong as pro-Beijing candidates swept to victory in the city's legislative elections after laws were changed to favor China's Communist Party loyalists. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. VOA Asia continues. After internal Facebook documents were shared widely with news organizations, the question remains whether and how Facebook will change. VOA's Michelle Quinn reports.
Last May, as violence gripped Israel and Palestinian territories, Palestinian activists complained that Facebook had restricted many pro-Palestinian posts and accounts. Facebook said its software that searches for hate speech had glitches. But months later, evidence emerged showing Facebook employees had deeper concerns.
My name is Frances Haugen.
After an ex-employee shared internal Facebook documents with the Securities and Exchange Commission, partly blacked-out versions given to Congress were reviewed by a consortium of news organizations. Some documents show employees expressing frustrations that suppression of speech in the region was common. Dia Kayali, who works to document human rights violations in the region, took note.
They know that there's problems. They're under-resourcing in them. There are staff that are pushing them to do a better job, and they're just not.
The Facebook documents give a rare window into how the social media giant struggles to manage its services around the world. Frances Haugen, the whistleblower who leaked the documents, cited the case of Myanmar. That's where a Facebook human rights report found a failure to stop its services from being used to foment division and incite offline violence. A similar situation is happening in countries like Ethiopia, Haugen says, where misinformation and hate speech circulate because the company doesn't have systems to police harmful posts in key languages.
What we saw in Myanmar and are now seeing in Ethiopia are only the opening chapters of a story so terrifying, no one wants to read the end of it.
A spokesperson told VOA that the firm cracks down on abuse outside the U.S. with the same intensity as it does inside the U.S. But for many activists, the Facebook papers disclosures are no surprise. They have been complaining to Facebook for years about how its services are used and abused in the Southern Hemisphere.
There is a war happening on Facebook, and it's happening in a number of different languages. The quote-unquote Global South is essentially a free-for-all of hate, polarization, and extremism.
Lawmakers around the world are debating whether and how Facebook should be policed. And activists want the company to disclose even more information.
We have to work together to solve these problems of content moderation because the internet is and must be global. So we need global solutions.
Facebook, which recently changed its name to Meta, has long said its aim is to bring the world closer together. The challenge is whether it can do so safely. Michelle Quinn, VOA News.
Making headlines in Asia. New South Wales is relaxing mask and social distancing rules at the same time as coronavirus infections are hitting record numbers. On Monday, the state recorded 2,500 new cases over a 24-hour period. Health officials believe the Omicron variant likely accounts for the majority of those infections. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. The teen who made the news last year for doing a backflip inside the Singapore Zoo's white rhinoceros enclosure and then posting a video of the incident on his TikTok account was on Monday made to undergo reformative training for 1 year. 19-year-old Ralph Wee Kai had last month pleaded guilty at the state courts to taking cannabis, causing unnecessary suffering to a frog, possessing imitation tobacco products, trespassing into the rhino enclosure, and committing mischief by damaging property. Another 6 counts of a similar nature were considered in sentencing. Wee's clip was viewed 55,000 times by the time a police report was made to the zoo's deputy director of park operations later that same day. You have been listening to VOA Asia. Like us on Facebook, VOA Asia. Follow us on Twitter at VOA Asia. You can find us on Instagram and YouTube and at voanews.com. Thanks for joining us, and thanks to our service chief, Diane Gao. Our VOA Asia team includes Keith Lane, Chris Cascajo, and Jim Stevenson. I'm Jessica Stone in Washington. Enjoy the day.